This is Radio Boston. I'm Steve Brown. If you're a high schooler in the Commonwealth, study up. Just got harder for you to graduate. That's because the state's Board of Elementary and Secondary Education just raised the passing score on the 10th grade Massachusetts Comprehensive Assessment System, or MCAS. Monday's vote will impact the incoming freshman class this fall, with a further approval to raise it again for the class of 2031. With us to give us more context to this change is WBUR education reporter Max Larkin. Max, hi.
Hi, Steve.
So, Max, the MCAS has been a hot-button issue for a long time. So how big of a deal is this change, and what does it mean for the students?
I think that's subject to debate here, Steve. Before the vote on Monday, board members kind of downplayed how big a deal this is. They said, you know, certainly even after passing scores climb, most kids are going to pass this test statewide. But in some communities, high immigrant, high linguistic diversity, it's liable to be a lot more. You've got 30 or 40, sometimes nearly 50% struggling to pass already in places like, say, Lawrence or Chelsea.
Mm. Well, coming up in a few minutes, we'll hear from some more invested parties. But generally, what are you hearing from those in favor and against the change?
Well, I think people who support this believe that a rigorous exit exam is maybe the keystone of Massachusetts' first-in-the-nation educational performance. So higher expectations translate into better results, they'd say. And then, you know, if you have a number of students climbing year over year that's passing, you might start to worry, Steve, about the rigor of the test. And moreover, they'd say the state's education reform law, still on the books, requires at least this assessment of students' mastery, and they feel this better lives up to the charge. On the other hand, you've got legislators like Senator Pat Jalin of Somerville. She spearheaded a petition of 98 lawmakers asking the state education department not to take this step. And she says the law isn't so clear about how this test should work, Steve.
There is certainly nothing that says you need to make sure that more kids don't pass, because raising the standard doesn't mean kids are going to learn more, for sure.
Now, Jalin is concerned that in communities with, say, a lot of frontline workers that were hard hit by the pandemic, this will cause or exacerbate a dropout crisis among the students who fail. And for those who just struggle, it will kind of narrow down the curriculum to focus on the test even more than it does now.
Max, let's just take a step back if we can. Give us a little history of the MCAS in Massachusetts. Who takes it? What does it measure? And what happens if they don't pass?
Yeah, it's been a feature of state law for almost 30 years and kicked in as an exit exam a little later. It's a multi-section assessment system that's supposed to measure how well you've absorbed the content in all your K-12 classes. So it's taken pretty much every year from 3rd to 10th grade. And since 2002 or 3, that 10th grade test has been called, has been a so-called exit exam in that you have to pass it to graduate. Students who don't pass it, Steve, do have some options. They can retake the test, they can appeal, or if they have a good enough score, they can submit what's called an educational proficiency plan, an EPP, they call it. And they can sort of show they know their stuff from teacher input and grades and may just not test well. But I do want to say, failing the MCAS can be a demonstrably heavy weight, Steve. It can discourage students, and it can lead them to drop out. And to be sure, more students are going to fail once these new thresholds go into effect.
Wasn't the MCAS originally created to make sure that individual schools were up to snuff? But then the pressure and high stakes got shifted over to the students.
Well, I think the test has always done both. You know, just as when students don't do well on the test, there's a wait for districts that struggle on it, schools that struggle on it. You still have three whole districts under state control in large part because of their low MCAS scores. That'd be Lawrence, Holyoke, and Southbridge. But even under state control, Steve, their improvement on MCAS has been slow and I think mixed at best.
Has it always been this controversial?
No, I think this is a new and sort of extraordinary moment. The pandemic made the physical act of sitting for a standardized test a lot more complicated. Then you had the MCAS suspended for a couple of years. Many colleges went test optional in their admissions policies. And so I think there's a sort of question suddenly in a lot of minds. Do we really need these high stakes tests, or at least do we need them as much as we thought we did?
Okay. Max, hang tight if you would. I want to bring in two more voices now. With me is Jonathan Guzman. He's the vice chair of the Lawrence School Committee, and Paul Revel, former Massachusetts Secretary of Education under Governor Deval Patrick. Jonathan, Paul, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you for having us.
Jonathan, I want to start with you. You spoke with WBUR's Max Larkin last month about MCAS and your experience with it. You came to the U.S. mainland a decade ago as a non-native English speaker. You excelled in school in Puerto Rico but faced challenges when you got to Lawrence High School, where within weeks you were expected to take the 10th grade MCAS test. This was back in 2011. You failed the first time. Eventually, you passed on your second attempt. You went on to get a degree in biology from Fitchburg State University. If you came to Lawrence High today in 2022 with these increased passing scores, do you think your track would be different?
It would not. Mm-hmm. I feel like in particular, when students get placed into this type of corner, right, that they don't have the skills when they're entering the country in particular, and they are struggling right now because they're trying to learn a language. What happened to me in particular was that I was placed in a room with a dictionary and basically got 2 hours because I had an IEP, and that gave me the extra time. So during that time in particular, I spent most of the time trying to analyze what those words meant. And when I put them together, I didn't even understand if the sentences or the question that they were asking me, I was going to answer correctly. So at the end, I did fail it. It brought my self-intention of moving to America for a better future, for a better education, and really put my family into question, did we do the correct move? Did we really left everything in our, you know, in a territory of the United States, Puerto Rico, but our country for a better education? And now I'm reflecting differently than what it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Paul Revel, you're in favor of these increases. We know stories like Jonathan's aren't unique, and they highlight what many parents and teachers are worried about when it comes to raising passing scores. Here's a scene from The Wire, which explains these concerns.
All this so we score higher on the state tests? If we're teaching the kids the test questions, what is it assessing in them?
Nothing. It assesses us. The test scores go up, they can say the schools are improving. The scores stay down, they can't.
Juking the stats.
Okay, those are teachers and students on the show The Wire. Paul, what would you say to worries that raising scores pushes teachers to teach to the test? Does this mean that we're moving away from teaching the whole person?
Well, let me take a step back, if I might, sure. Steve. I'm a big Wire fan, by the way. I'm watching it again for the first time in 20 years. You know, I was present at the creation of the Education Reform Act of 1993 and worked a lot with the team that got it through the legislature. Fundamentally, at the heart of the notion that we would measure progress in schools for individuals as well as schools was a concept of fairness. And we've been arguing. Reasonable people will disagree about fairness over time. The question really boils down to whether or not the fair thing to do is to give every child what they need to develop the skills and competencies to be successful in college and career, no matter how much time or how much money it takes the system to do that. Or is it fairer to acknowledge that they've worked hard, they're well-intentioned, they've shown up, and therefore they deserve a diploma whether or not they have the skills to do it? So equity, in my view, reasonable people can disagree about this, but when I hear Jonathan's story, I hear a system failure. And the tests give us an opportunity to see how the system is operating and to make determinations about where we need to work differently and have different strategies to meet children where they are. I mean, here, Jonathan's special circumstances of arriving in this country shortly before taking the test means that we've got to do something different with that population. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be attentive to looking at each child. What are their skills and knowledge? Where are they? And give them the help they need no matter what it takes.
So fix the system.
In effect, fixing the system. And as to the clip you played, I know, you know, if you have a good test, you can have tests that are worth teaching to. You know, I often said to parents, and again, this is a 30-year argument. I have scars on my back from, you know, the 1990s and standing up in defense of saying, you know, asking parents, show me, read the test and tell me what skills and knowledge you don't want your children to learn. If we have a test that asks sophisticated questions and allows for complex answers and gives the students the opportunity to show analytical thinking, that's the kind of test I'd want my children taught to. So I think that Massachusetts has developed some fairly good tests. I don't think graduation should be all about test scores. I don't think it should be a one-time, one-shot-only test. But I do think measuring progress is essential to improvement in any discipline, and we need to continue to measure progress, and we need to have a high standard. Mm-hmm. It's not a question of competing with others so much as it's a question of giving students what they need to be successful.
I'd like to get Jonathan Guzman's take on what Paul just said.
So in particular, when we talk about students across the Commonwealth and we talk about the system failure in this case, right, I feel like when we give the chance for teachers and students to form relationships and have their own curriculum, right, rather than be in a room where they are literally teaching just a memorization within the classroom and preparing students just to pass the test. And that's what I hear from teachers constantly, right? Because the VESE in particular is forgetting about all the knowledge in this world and is demanding the importance about just focusing on the test. Now, when we talk in particular about being fair, right, this in particular is not a joyful learning experience for students. They do not have a cultural appropriation in education. And in particular, this burden to obtain data for the state will begin with class of 2026. And the legislature need to act on this session in particular and be a coming session to make it not a requirement. Like, I understand the particular notion of we need to find something in where we're able to obtain data to understand how districts are doing around the Commonwealth. But this MCAS, the MCAT, the standardized testing, it is not a fair option because it really doesn't develop a structure because every school within the Commonwealth has a different demographics, serves different people, and not everything works the same.
We're talking about the Massachusetts Comprehensive Assessment System, or the MCAS, with Jonathan Guzman here in the studio, vice chair of the Lawrence School Committee, and Paul Revel, also here in the studio, former education system. You were talking about research and data. Research from Brown University is reported by WBUR. It says that even those 91% of students who take the MCAS do pass. However, those who pass with low scores are disproportionately unlikely to complete a four-year college or earn a living wage as adults. So does raising the passing score even matter when it doesn't necessarily mean that you're fully ready for the next step, Paul?
Well, I think that's the heart of the question, Steve. So I'm glad you cited that Brown research because it shows that these test scores actually correlate with future success. But again, it's not about the test scores per se, and it's not about the test. And incidentally, there's a lot of research that will show you that memorization doesn't work on these tests. A teaching practice that instills an approach to learning that has to do with memorization is not going to be successful on math or English. We know that. But the larger question is, if we know that there are certain competencies, certain skills that are necessary for people to be successful. For example, in our community colleges in Massachusetts, roughly two-thirds of the students who have passed MCAS, admitted to community college, need to do remedial work before they can even be admitted to college courses. The MCAS standard, you know, that we're talking about here is a 10th grade standard. Mm. So, and you have multiple chances to pass the test. So I think that what we're doing here is we're setting a high goal, but it's then up to the system to provide students the opportunity to learn. It's not on the students so much as it's on the system to say, if we have students who are a long way from achieving that standard, what are we going to do? How are we going to change the amount of time that students get help? Mm-hmm. For example, in the remedial plan that this calls for, if you're going to go the alternative route, they're now requiring tutoring, mm-hmm. which there's a lot of research to show that tutoring is highly effective. School systems need to make time for that. They've got money now. We're in an unprecedented situation where schools have money from the federal government that allows them to do things that they've never been able to do before. Tutoring is one of the top things that they ought to be doing, and adding time to students' schedules for those who need it to get to the standard.
So it can make some positive changes. Jonathan, we got just about a minute left. The pandemic has made learning much more difficult and impacted progress for many. MCAS scores dropped across categories in the 10th grade test in 2021 compared to the scores of 2019. This is in line with assessment test scores from across the country in this time. Jonathan, is this a matter of not raising scores ever or not raising scores right now?
I think in particular, it's never. I am completely against the MCAS. I believe that the MCAS is not a good measure of student academic knowledge, and rather it's causing a negative impact on students with disability, in particular English learners, BIPOC community, low-income communities, right, and so on. And in particular, it's an overwhelming opposition that we see on different areas from teachers, students, legislators that don't want this to be an actual requirement within Massachusetts. And I feel like in general, people are forgetting that Boston is going through a lot of issues, in particular with the notion of receivership. And one of the things that the receivership law, Chapter 69, says is that a district is placed under chronic underperforming, right? And the measurements that they're looking at, one of them is graduation rates. Mm-hmm.
That was Jonathan Guzman. He's the vice chair of the Lawrence School Committee. Also, Paul Revel is with us today, the former Massachusetts Secretary of Education. Jonathan, Paul, thank you both for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Still with us is WBUR education reporter Max Larkin. Max, thanks for sticking around. What are your reactions to what you just heard here?
I had a couple. I thought they both made good points, of course. Paul Revel's remark that this is about fairness was very interesting to me. I think there's this tension, right? Because there's, you know, tens of thousands of students taking this test every year, Steve. And then there's that individual experience that Jonathan spoke to, just this incredible wave of doubt and second guessing that can hold a lot of people back. And so the question is, how do you balance the need to get a look in on how people are learning and, you know, without making people lose faith in their ability to be a good student and accomplish all their goals.
Max, what are you watching for next when it comes to MCAS?
Well, I'll be really interested to hear what the various gubernatorial candidates think. If it's likely that the governor's seat is going to change parties, we could see these decisions get revisited or changed. You know, Pat Jalen told me that legislators who were opposed to this move are upset, but they're regrouping around a strategy. And then we'll have the latest wave of scores, Steve, coming in the next couple months. And I'll be very interested to see whether all the disruptions are still showing up in those scores.
Okay, that's WBUR's education reporter, Max Larkin. Max, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.